This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 14th of May, 2009, and joining me on the line today from Spain is Daniel Esterlin, preeminent researcher and reporter of the Bilderberg Group, having investigated the group for two decades and having cultivated sources who are often able to reveal what is discussed at the annual conference of banking, political, and royal elite. Mr. Esterlin is perhaps best known for his book, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, which has so far been translated into 48 languages and sold over 2.5 million copies. Mr. Esterlin, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
It's wonderful to be on your report. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Well, let's cut right to the chase. What's the latest that your sources are telling you about this year's Bilderberg Conference that's getting underway as we speak in Voulamini, Greece?
It started today. Actually, most attendees arrived yesterday. David Rockefeller, he came in on Tuesday afternoon. He usually is one of the first ones on the scene. And the meeting starts today. They're going to have two sessions, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Tomorrow also we're going to have two lively debates. Saturday it's early in morning session, then they're going to break for lunch and go for a boat ride or a swim. And then Sunday everybody goes home. They work about 10-12 hour days during the three-day meeting, and again, these are the people who are 120 of the most powerful people in the world, the aristocracy of purpose, as they themselves call themselves, working towards the creation of a global network of giant cartels, more powerful than any nation on earth, destined to control the necessities of life of the rest of the humanity, obviously on our behalf and supposedly for our benefit.
Well, that's a very succinct way of explaining just how important this conference really is. So just to clarify, are you going to be attending this conference in person?
No, I'm not. I'm in Spain right now. They're meeting in Greece. Years ago, I would follow them around the world to all their yearly outings. But because we have established and such fabulous sources, not only within the Bilderberger inner circle, but also the people who are the security guards, intelligence agencies around the world, pretty much everything that comes out of these conferences, we get it live and in real time. And very shortly, this after the conclusion of the Bilderberg conferences, we have the Bilderberg reports. So there really is no need for me physically or to attend any longer.
Well, then let's get to what your sources are telling you about this year's conference. We talked to veteran Bilderberg reporter Jim Tucker last week, and his sources are indicating that exploiting the swine flu hysteria to implement world health controls might be one item on this year's agenda, and continuing the economic crash and using that to further the North American Union might be another key topic discussed. But what are you hearing about this year's topic?
Well, my points are more concrete. One of them is the future of the U.S. dollar and the American economy. The plan is for the Bilderberg Group players, through their allies in Washington and Wall Street, to continue to deceive millions of savers and investors who believe the hype about the supposed upturn in the economy. They're about to be set up for massive losses and searing financial pain in the months ahead. The famous or infamous bank stress test now being conducted by Washington, a little more than a shameless hoax, based on the irrational assumption that the economy won't get as bad as it already is or as it will get very, very shortly. Point number two is U.S. unemployment, solutions and assumptions. This is exactly how it is stated in the pre-meeting booklet sent out to the attendees. Bilderberg is quietly assuming that the American unemployment figures will hover around 14% by the end of this year, far higher than the official numbers released by the American government, which is about 8.5% or 9% at present. And another point concerning the United States, depression or prolonged stagnation, question mark. Again, this is how it is stated in the pre-meeting booklet sent out to the attendees a couple of weeks back. Bilderberg is looking at two options, either a prolonged, agonizing depression that dooms the world to decades of stagnation, decline, and poverty, or an intense but shorter depression that paves the way for a new sustainable economic world order with less sovereignty but more efficiency. And finally, as far as the key point, not directly affecting the United States but indirectly, there'll be a final push for the enactment of Lisbon Treaty, which is an official European constitution pending on Irish voting yes finally on the third try for the treaty in September, October. Again, they voted no several times, which again stopped the European Constitution from being put into becoming law. And now so they, what they've done is they've renamed it stealthily Lisbon Treaty, which is basically the same thing. Now, the Irish vote, yes, we in Europe will have our European constitution, which takes precedence over national constitutions in times of crisis. Now, one of the Bilderberger concerns is addressing and neutralizing the anti-Lisbon treaty movement called Libertas, led by Declan Ganley. This is the man who is responsible for the Irish voting no the last time. One of the Bilderberger plan moves is to use a whispering campaign in the United States media, suggesting that Ganley is being funded by arms dealers in the United States, linked to the United States military and to the American militia movement.
All right. Well, there are a number of things I'd like to pick up on from that. But thinking about the prolonged recession and depression versus the short, painful, searing economic change, we understand from your reporting and the reporting of others on the Bilderberg Group over the years that there are factions within Bilderberg, and it's not a monolithic entity like in the Iraq War run-up. So what are you what are your sources telling you about the possibility that there are factions shaping up along, I suppose, Bilderberg party lines on these issues?
Well, I think, first of all, as a bit of a background to the world situation as it stands, some people think we're in a recession. Those who think they're, are complete idiots. When there's not only not a recession or even a depression, but we're living right now a general global breakdown crisis of the economy of the entire planet. And as long as the present structure of the economy in the United States, in Europe, and elsewhere continues, the world is going more and more deeply into a general breakdown crisis, which will probably result in the elimination within a generation or two max of two-thirds of the present level of the world's population. That is a reduction from 6.7 billion today to about 2 billion a short time from now. And of course, having that as a background, yes, obviously there are factions that within Bilderberg, there are factions actually who are pushing for nuclear energy within Bilderberg, realizing that this is the only way we can stave off this, destruction of the human species. Of course, if you actually use the nuclear energy and if you can put it to good use, you're talking about the population jump up to 10 billion people, so there's a lot of members of Bilderberg who are looking at alternatives to the oil, obviously, driven economy. And as far as the breakdown crisis itself is concerned, well, in a collapse, a lot of things can happen, and there are a lot of unknowns. And these are the unknowns that scare and frighten some of the more savvier members of the Bilderberg inner circle, who are just wondering how far, they've gone to actually not only destroy the world, but perhaps even destroy themselves. And I think these are some of the things they'll be talking about at this year's meeting.
So the question is whether they could even control how this collapse is going to play out if things have not gotten that so bad already that they're going to just inevitably...
I personally think they've lost control to a great extent. Just to how far of an extent they've lost this control remains to be seen. But again, you're witnessing things in Europe, in the United Kingdom, where the economy is dead, in Canada and the United States, where, of course, again, we're not living in depression, but a collapse of civilization as we know it. So it just remains to be seen just how much or little control they actually have. And we will know a lot more, especially after tomorrow's session, where they'll be talking, I think it's tomorrow afternoon session, where they'll be talking about the economic situation in the world.
Well, then another point you raised earlier in the talking points for this year's conference is the Lisbon Treaty and the vote that's coming up in Ireland this fall. It seems to indicate that, in fact, the no vote was a big setback for Bilderberg. Just to what extent do you think the people actually have the power to stop the Bilderberg agenda?
Well, as far as the voting in the European Constitution, zero. What they've done is any country that had a choice of, in any country where people had a chance to vote, they voted it down, such as in France and in the Netherlands. So what they've done, they've taken the voting power out of people's hands and they've put it into the legislative branch. And in Germany, for example, it was the Bundestag that voted for the European Constitution, and so was in Prague in the Czech Parliament. In smaller, obviously, ex-Soviet republics such as Lithuania, Latvia, etc., needless to say that the people and the government, everybody voted yes because they want to form part of Europe as opposed to be forming part of what once was the Soviet Union. But in countries such as Holland and France, the vote was a no, a resounding no, which, of course, was the first big stop in the Bilderberg plan, or chink in their armor. And then, of course, the Irish voting no was the second. And now what they need to do, one way or another, is get this Lisbon Treaty approved, because, again, it basically puts all the countries under the mechanisms and the control of bureaucrats whose names most of us have never seen or heard of.
Well, that's right. As the Bilderberg agenda unfolds and the veil is pulled back from the democratic process that we once believed in, obviously it's being exposed that the democratic process itself is fundamentally flawed and that the Obama administration isn't going to save us, as some people used to think. So what do you think is the most effective way for the people as a whole to rise up against the Bilderberg agenda?
I think there's only really one way. You know, years back, one way is through money, the only way. Years back, about 12 or 13 years ago, I saw in one of the Bilderberger reports a phrase which I didn't quite understand at the time, because I was just getting into this whole Bilderberger thing. It said demand destruction. It took me about 7 or 8 years to come back to this phrase, because I saw it again, I think, early 2002 in one of the CFR reports, and then I saw it again in Club of Rome report, and then the Bilderbergers talked about it in Chantilly in 2002. And by then I had established a close working relationship with someone who for years was an important member of the World Bank. So I asked this individual, I said, what does it mean, demand destruction? He said to me, how do you destroy demand? I said, well, war is a good way. He said, much easier than war. You destroy demand by destroying the world economy on purpose, which is what we're witnessing right now, destruction of the world economy on purpose. Because I think people have to understand, you know, that the monetary and the banking crisis and the housing crisis, it's not just, you know, happened on a whim. It's not that it just happened. It was very much thought out, because you and I obviously understand that the Rockefeller and Company, who know a lot more about money than we do not lend money at zero interest, zero down, to people who have absolutely no way of ever paying it back unless there is a reason for it, or unless the basic economics of, you know, and the physics of economics has been reversed, and suddenly the taxi drivers know more about economy and money than the Rockefellers of this world. So again, the only way we can destroy them is understanding how money works. This is what my friend at the World Bank told me. If you want to do good, understand how money works and how, through using money the right way, we can wipe them out. If everybody went to the bank today and withdrew their cash, we would destroy the world financial system. Of course, nobody would do that.
So I think that's a point that's worth reiterating, that basically knowledge is power, and the only revolution that matters is the revolution of the mind.
Well, unfortunately, again, Bilderberg is way ahead of us on this one as well. They destroyed the education system. Over the past 2,500 years, the only education worth anything at all has been the classical education, Socratic and Platonic, and they, of course, they destroyed that. They've created outcome-based education, which is an idea which was developed by the United Nations in the late 1940s, and the result of the outcome-based education is what you see in the United States, and of course we see in Europe, you know, degenerates, the young generation of degenerates who believe in nothing, who know nothing about anything whatsoever, and of course who are not willing to stand up and defend the constitution of their country, even to the death, to save the republic.
All right. Well, I know you're a very busy man today, of all days, Mr. Estulin, so I'll let you go in a minute. But just before we do, just to set the scene for people who haven't actually attended a Bilderberg conference before, how is this going to play out over the next few days, and what are the key meetings and conferences that will be taking place?
Well, they have Bilderbergers. The wake-up call is at 7:30. So they meet at 8:30 till about 11. They work very, very hard. The discussion points, usually what you have a presentation, then followed by the discussions. People can comment, and they can speak for 1, 2, or 5 minutes. The one-minute speakers raise one finger, and they get to speak first. Five-minute speakers raise five fingers, and they speak last. And obviously, two-minute speakers raise two fingers, and they speak second. There are panels of the discussion. It works as there's 125, 127 members. I have to check my list to see how many there are this year. Out of these, they break into six discussion groups. Each discusses the same point and looks at it from different perspectives. Then what they do is, after lunch, they merge, they come together, and there's one general discussion takes place over all the points and all the ideas which have been brought out through the panels, the six panels, during the morning sessions, and then repeat the same thing in the afternoon session, late evening session. They finish about 11 o'clock at night, they go to bed, and the next day they will come and go at it again.
So just to clarify, did you just say that you have the attendee list for this year?
I don't have this year's attendee. I'm waiting. It should be coming in any moment now. But I pretty much know who is attending, although until I see the list, I prefer not to comment.